My topic tonight, insights into the unseen. Insights into the unseen. As I have lived for the Lord, and I've been in ministry over 40 some years now, one thing that really intrigues me, I guess the whole thing really intrigues me. I mean, God is unseen and His ways are wonderful. I'm just an excited man to be part of the team, part of those that are called believers. I'm excited just to be a member of this, just that the Lord included me in this. But as I have been in ministry these years, I have noticed and learned certain things about the unseen realm, and they have thrilled me. And I hope to share these things with you tonight. First of all, I want to say to you that this has been for me, those of you who know the history of North America, you know that Columbus set out years ago, centuries ago, he set out to find a land that nobody had ever seen. He just, you know, all of his research had said to him, there's a place out there that we have not seen. And he set out to discover that. I feel like him the last few months and years of my life. I feel that way, that I am setting out to discover unseen things. I'd like to bring you with me to discover these unseen things. First of all, before we even go any further, we know that the God we serve is unseen. Oh, my Lord, we haven't seen him, but we believe him even though we haven't seen him. And when we first come to God, Hebrews 11 chapter tells us, when you come to God, if you're going to come to God, you must first believe that he is. You know, now when I pray to him. I go into my little prayer room and I say, you are unseen, but you are not undetected. I feel you, Lord. I sense your presence. I can't see you. No, my eyes can't see you, but I know I sense you in my spirit. Something about my inner man begins to experience the things of God. The first insight I want to talk about tonight, and I've always considered myself the strength coach of world overcomers. Because of my background, I have always wanted to address, and God has given me the assignment to address powerlessness among believers. I hate being impotent. I hate impotence. I hate weakness among the body of Christ. And so my assignment has been, ever since I can remember, my assignment has been to address powerlessness and to bring the cure for it. So there are certain insights that God gives us that will begin to heal the powerlessness in the body of Christ. I feel like this is a Columbus journey that we're setting out to discover things that we have never seen before. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about stuff that's just natural. I'm not going to preach to you stuff that's just normal. I'm going to teach to you things that are beyond the norm. You were never really meant to just be normal. That may be one reason why that you are so dissatisfied with your life. Because when you try to fit in, you're not going to fit in. You're a believer. And one of the reasons is, one of the first insights that I want to talk to you about tonight is the fact that we are made like God. The scriptures tell us in the book of Genesis, those of you who have heard me teach, have heard me speak this scripture, Genesis, the first chapter, 26th verse, I just about know it by heart from the King James Version. The Lord said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. Now, God's design for you is that you have dominion. You are not going to be obeying that original mandate if you don't start taking dominion. Yes, I know we have learned to serve, and I know we're good servants, and I know we've learned to love, but I'm going to talk about dominion. I want to talk about power. Praise be to God. Yes, there are times when we'll speak about love and forgiveness and all these other things, but tonight we're going to talk about insights into the unseen. First of all, you're made like God. You have something inside of you that there's a scripture, 1 Peter 3 and 4, that talks about the hidden man of the heart. Now, you're looking at me right now. You can see the outer man. You cannot see my inner man. But the inner man in me is the part of me that's like God. You can't see that part. I can't see God. You can't see my inner man. But we are made like God. That is how we are made. And when we are born again, we just come alive. It seems like we've been in a coma for so long until we hear the word preached to us. And then we come alive. And all of a sudden, there is a part of you that just gets excited about the things of God. Why? Because you're made like him. You're not supposed to be normal. I consider myself a strength coach around here. I'm a power coach around World Overcomers because I'm going to talk to you about the power of God in your life. Now, first of all, we're made like God. That's one insight. You have an outer man. That's this, which as time goes on, we know it's got to go back to the dust. But there is also an inner man in you. And Pastor Andy's been talking about your spirit. Your spirit. Secondly, here's an insight. We are fed and grow by spirit food. We are fed and we grow by spirit food. Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse says, man does not live by bread alone. Now, those of you that are listening to me, I don't know, maybe you like movies. Maybe you like books. Some of you, you know, you're foodies and you love food. But let me tell you something. God has planned for you to feed. There's a substance you feed on that born-again believers feed on it, and something happens when they feed on it. It's called the Word of God. Also, 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter and the 2nd verse. Okay, I'm giving you a bunch of scriptures tonight, but stick with me. It says, let us desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. God has given you a substance called the Word of God. You feed on it. You actually eat it. Who ever heard of eating word? But believers, we're not normal. And so we feed on the Word of God. When you find yourself getting weak, you need to see how much word food am I feeding on? You are meant to feed on the Word of God. Then John, the 6th chapter and the 63rd verse, Jesus said, my words are spirit. Insights into the unseen. You feed that unseen, that hidden man by spirit food. If you just do 3 meals a day and physical snacks on the side, you know, you stop by the gas station and grab a little something for a snack, you need to also make sure that you feed your spirit man spirit food. It's important for you to know that. Amen. Because we are made like God. You're not going to be satisfied 3 meals a day. You're not going to be satisfied. If you plan on doing miracles, if you plan on doing the miraculous, amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Something happens as you feed your spirit the Word of God. You can read any other book, but when you read the Word of God, that unseen inside of you begins to grow. That's powerful for you to know. The next thing I want you to know is a very, oh my God, this is a powerful thing. The scriptures tell us in the book of Psalms, 115 verse 16, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. We are not just renters. We are not just people that are just, you know, inconsequential to this earth. God has made us owners. Owners? You mean to tell me that I own this? Well, let's look at a scripture here in the book of Romans. There are several others, but I want to look at Romans, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to look at the 17th verse. Now, there's also a scripture in Galatians too, so kind of stay tuned. I might want to go to that too, but Romans, the 8th chapter says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Oh, let's just stop for a moment and understand what an heir is. Let's just stop for a moment. An heir implies that you are owner of something that somebody else worked to acquire. God wants you to have the mindset, not just of a servant, I think Galatians, the fourth chapter, tells us we're not just servants, but we are sons. And if we are sons, then we are heirs. That means if you are an heir, that means you own something. This scripture here tells us we are heirs. God wants you to have a certain mindset. You're heirs. You own something. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ. Now, the power of an heir is when the person who owned it dies. Jesus died and went back up into glory. And we are called co-heirs with him. Now, if he left, who's the one that's in owning it now? This is a very powerful concept. In the scriptures, we see him saying, we are heirs and joint heirs. What does that mean? That means you own something. Stop acting like a renter in the earth. Understand that you own it. The earth has he given to the children of men. That means you now are going to have to act like an owner. You can't let everything happen to the things you own. Now, if God is the only one that's in charge of this thing, then, you know, and many of us have always thought, you know, well, God owns it. It's all his. We don't have much to do. No, yes, you do. The earth has he given to the children of men. There's a stand you got to take. The reason things have happened is because we have allowed them to happen. I love Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 19th verse, contemporary English version of it. It says, whatever you allow on earth, I will allow in heaven. Whatever you do not allow on earth, I will not allow in heaven. And the Lord told Peter, I've given you the keys. Oh my God. These are insights into the unseen. We are owners of this thing. Who made us owners? The Lord said, I'm making man after my image. Let them have the dominion. Powerful, powerful concept. And if we are heirs and Jesus Christ was a joint heir with us and now he has gone up into glory, guess who it belongs to? Yeah, yeah, you and me. It's time for a change in our attitude. Now, there's another thing I want you to note. I think it's Luke, the 10th chapter, 38th verse. It says, I give you power over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Also, Mark, the 16th chapter, around the 17th verse, said, in my name they shall cast out devils. There's also a scripture that says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now, I heard somebody testify that they were having a vision. And a demon came and got in between the vision and started making noise. And Jesus was talking to him and they could not hear Jesus. They couldn't hear him. So they got desperate and they finally spoke to the devil and said, shut up and get out of here. When they did, that spirit that was in the middle stopped and fell to the ground and whimpered away like a whipped puppy. And Jesus spoke to them and said, if you had not done that to the devil, I couldn't. What do you mean couldn't? Here's an insight. Insight here is this. You must now exercise power over the devil. If you're praying for God to do it, you're wasting your prayer. If you're praying for the Lord to come and do something about the devil, you're wasting your prayer. Colossians 2:15 told us that he spoiled principalities and powers. Now it is time for every believer to exercise power over all the unseen forces of darkness. Every morning I wake up now, as soon as I open my eyes and think about it, I say, I take dominion and I take authority over the power of darkness. I let Satan know, I know who's in charge. I'm in charge. If the Lord said whatever you allow, I'm going to allow them. We're going to stop allowing stuff up in here. As storms come into your region, some of you need to get together and begin to say, no, you will not destroy in this neighborhood. You will not destroy in this region. Try it. Begin to do it. Why has so much destruction happened? Why is destruction in the news? Because those who have the power don't know they got the power. I came to give you insights into the unseen realm. It's powerful that you have been given, believers. Every believer has been given power over the devil. You want God to do it. Jesus shed his blood and defeated the powers of darkness. So now, the power is now in squarely in your hands. Whatever you allow, that's what's going to be allowed. Wow. Here's another insight. There is now no reason for us to fear death. Our Savior Jesus Christ came with a specific task that was to destroy him that had the power of death. Satan had the power. Jesus came back from the grave to let us know, I now have the keys of death and hell. If you are a believer, I need you to start practicing no fear of death. I want you to begin to say 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, the word of God is like seed. Sometimes when you first say it, you don't feel the effects of it yet, but keep on saying it. Say it 7 times a day. Say it 7 times a day for 7 days. Say it 7 times a day for 7 weeks. But say it and say it and say it and say it until your spirit gets fed on the fact that God did not give you the spirit of fear. The word is like seed. When you plant it deep enough, it begins to grow and bring forth the harvest. That's an insight into the unseen. We are no longer under the power of death. We don't fear it. You can testify to people. Why? Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, here's another insight. The unseen rules the seen. Wow. The unseen rules the seen. The scripture tells us in the book of St. John, the 1st chapter, you can turn to it when you get a chance. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. I'm telling you right now that the unseen Word that you can't see, this is what is described as the ruler. The Word is God. Wow. It says also in that scripture, all things were made by him. Hebrews 11 chapter tells us that what's seen was not made by what's seen, but what's seen was made by what is unseen. Wow. Do you mean to tell me we are to be masters of shaping the unseen and changing the seen? I don't know if you're ready for that. But we are to be those praying people. Oh, let me just finish this explanation. John, the 1st chapter, says, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. That's the King James Version of the Bible. And it says, all things were made by him, talking about the Word. And without him was not anything made. Everything was made by the Word, which is God. 14th verse of that same chapter says, and the Word was made flesh. Oh my God, do you mean to tell me that the full process of word is to start out spoken, but it is to become a physical thing? Yes, the word. You're praying for healing. It starts out as a word spoken. It becomes physical healing. You're praying for finances to come in. It starts out as an invisible thing. You can't see it. And oftentimes, because you can't see it, you think that it's not happening. But the first chapter of St. John shows you the process. Starts out unseen, becomes seen. Starts out unseen, becomes seen. This is the excitement of every believer, to walk with God, to move with God in the process of something unseen becoming seen. It's the thrill of life. It's why we get into the worship services and we start praising God with all of our might. Why do we praise Him? Because I've sent out living faith. This stuff is coming to pass, that's coming out of my mouth. Hallelujah. It's a very powerful thing. When you understand that God has given you insight into the unseen, praying people go into the unseen realm of the promises of God. They're unseen. We ought to partake of, the scriptures tell us, divine nature. I said, you're not supposed to be normal. You ought to partake of the nature of God, the nature of your Father. This is why word is so important. I'm speaking to you word today. I'm going to talk to you about things that seem impossible. I'm going to talk to you about things that seem fantastic. It's going to thrill your spirit. But it's going to also do something for your spirit man. Your spirit man is going to come alive. And certain things are going to happen in your life. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Now understand, it's like seed and there's a process to it. But oh, if you hang in there for the process, as you walk with God, you can praise Him as soon as the prayer comes out of your mouth. As soon as the word comes out of your mouth. Scripture says, believe you receive it. In other words, shout. Give God the praise when it leaves your lips. Jesus said, if you act like that, if you believe that the word coming out of your mouth is coming to pass, you will have whatever you say. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's worth hanging in there for. Oh, yeah, I got an enemy, and he has tried to hand me my head several times on a silver platter. Because, you know, just like when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, the Lord said, let my people go, Pharaoh got mad. Oh, boy, he said, okay, I've been giving you straw for making bricks. I'm not giving you no straw. Go out there and find the straw, but still, you're going to have to make it. He really made it tougher on them. And when you start speaking His words, when you start gaining insights into the unseen, sometimes it seems like Satan will come. He'll turn your, it seems like he's turning your world upside down. Don't you believe it? That's a lie from the pit. The unseen rules the scene. You just hold your position. Hold your position. Keep speaking peace to trouble. Keep speaking peace to the troubled waters. Let me give you a great example. I don't have much time left. Let me give you a great example. The last few moments I have left. People say, you know, that we all always believe that salvation is in the hands of God. But no, it's not. No, it's not. The Lord said to us in Romans, the 10th chapter, don't say who's going to go get Jesus and bring him down anymore. Don't say who's going to go get him and bring him up. Say the word is now near you. If you will confess the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Who does it? Does God do it? No. You got to do it. Believers have to do it. Does that show power? Yes, it does. Then he said, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, man's mouth, confession is made to salvation. How are you going to get out of that problem? You're going to speak and say, I'm coming out? No. You're not going to say, I'm coming out. You're going to say, I'm out. And on Monday, you're going to say, I'm out. And on Tuesday, you're going to say, I'm out. You're going to be like Abraham. What's your name? My name is the father of many nations. Where are your children? I don't see no children. Yeah, but call me by my name. My name is Father of Nations. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is exciting. Insights into this unseen realm. Yeah, I can look at your body. That's the outer man. You are made like God. There is an inner man. You are made like God. So God has given you God's words to bring out, the godliness or the godlikeness in you. Oh, before you leave this earth, you're going to have to say something. Before you leave this earth, you're going to have to speak something. Don't go out like some wimp. Speak the word. Hold to it. Those of you that are sick, speak that I'm healed. I mean, when the doctor come in and say, you know, we've done all we can do. Oh, thank you, doctor. I'm made like God. The unseen rules the seen. I know it's cancer, but the unseen healing rules the seen cancer. Oh, my God, I've only got just about a minute now. But if God gave you the power of salvation in your mouth, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, who's got the power? Who did God give the authority to for salvation? Gave it into your hands. Oh, my God, are you saved? Are you saved today? All you need to do is open up your mouth and let this unseen word come out of your mouth. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe I'm made like him. I believe he gave me power over all the power of the enemy. I believe the unseen rules the seen. And I tell you, I am grateful to the Lord, for he has come and blessed me. My name is Pastor Al. I'm always excited about what God is doing. I consider myself a strength coach, a power coach around here. And if you have been walking in impotence, I want you to start out by feeding your spirit the word. It's going to change the way you talk. And when your speech starts changing, you start changing your world. Oh, my God. Okay. My time is up. When I talk to you again, I'm going to bring more of this, because I am to address powerlessness in the body of Christ. I hope you got something out of this today. Until the next time we get together, blessings and favor be upon your life all week long. God bless you.